Amen. Thank you.
He's giving me a rest. He really is. And it's good to have someone that I can trust to come in and just be able to talk without worrying about what they're going to say. And I just appreciate it.
Amen.
Brother.
Thank you.
Okay. Be sure and turn your mic on.
I think I have. Can everybody hear me? All right. Amen. Let's start off with a word of prayer this morning, if you don't mind. Father God, just thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for the opportunity to sit in your house this morning and to just speak to your people about the things that you've laid on my heart concerning Mexico and the travels. But it's more about Mexico, Lord. It's bringing your word to lost people. And that is our goal in this church and should be the goal of churches all over the world, that we touch others for the sake of Christ. So give us a heart for the lost people of this world today. Show us the areas that we need to work with and work for you. And Lord, just thank you for this day and bless this service and thank you for the great music and thank you for the much needed rain and just thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Son Jesus. And it's his name we pray. Amen. I want to thank y'all for the opportunity to speak with you this morning. It's been a long time since I've actually stood in a pulpit and was able to preach. I've got a little bit of the shakes going on this morning, but I'll calm down in a minute and we'll get to preaching God's Word. I was challenged by Brother Lynn a few weeks ago to talk about Mexico, but I was also told that I was going to do that during the sermon time. So I had to come up with a plan to try to talk about the things that I do in Mexico and also come up with a sermon in a sense. So I was struggling with that the last few weeks and God kind of brought some verses into mind, and I want to read those verses to you concerning mission work. And this was Paul. He wrote in Colossians. It is in the first chapter of Colossians. So I'm going to start reading in verse 17 and I'm going to read through 23. God's Word said, "And He is therefore before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by your wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." This is the scripture that God gave me these last few weeks to talk to you about concerning reconcile. I don't know if any of you, does anybody remember the motto on our church sign outside? Right offhand? Yeah, it's "Where sinners and Jesus Christ find common ground." That's a reconciliation verse right there. That common ground that is found between sinners and Jesus Christ is actually the spilt blood of Jesus Christ. The blood that He spilt on the cross to die for our sins. That is the common ground that we talk about today. That is the common ground that is on our sign out there today. I want to tell you a little about me. For starters, I know I even met some people this morning that I didn't know. My name is Daryl Mize. I'm married to Judy Mize over here. We've been married for 33 years. We've got four adult children, Darren, Blaine, Kelly, and Ben, and we have an adult daughter that we've kind of adopted. She spent her last year of high school with us and had a little baby. And the little girl calls me dad, and her daughter calls me grandpa. So we essentially have five kids that the Lord has blessed us with. And we have 5 grandchildren and another one on the way. Praise the Lord. We've been a member here at Common Ground for, a few months. We were trying to think back the other day when we actually started coming and when we actually joined. But we are members here for the last maybe 6 years. I've been doing work, mission work in Mexico. A long time ago, I had a desire to learn the Spanish language, and I still have that desire today. I haven't quite mastered that, but I had a desire that God gave me, and I don't know where it came from, other than I just had a desire to want to be able to speak Spanish, and I like the Spanish language. I like Spanish people, so God planted that in my heart, and I started to wonder why I had that desire. I pastored Southside Church for about 5 years there in Franklin, and we had the opportunity in one of the association meetings to meet someone that was visiting a church down there in Mexico. And this little church is kind of a standout church. I don't know if any of y'all have ever been into Mexico, but this little church is, they consider themselves a Baptist church, but in Mexico, you don't really have that many Baptist church. Mexico is a predominant Catholic society and a predominant Catholic nation. And I'll get to that, here in just a few more minutes. But this little church is set down in an area called the state of Jalisco in Mexico. Most people don't know where Jalisco is, but a lot of people do know where Guadalajara is. That is the capital of the state of Jalisco in Mexico. And I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip with this particular association group. So we planned a rather large mission trip. We had about 15 people go down there, and I just fell in love with the place. I fell in love with the people and started doing mission work. In about 2009, a group of pastors went down there just to kind of visit and check things out, and I was invited to go and began to do mission work from that point on. So today I kind of wanted to try to tell you a little bit about Mexico, but yet try to keep it in the text of a sermon somewhat. And so I came up with an alliterating sermon message, which basically means that I'm going to try to tell you a little bit about Mexico by using words that start with a W. And they're pretty simple. They're pretty simple words. The words are where, what, who, and why. And I've always liked to see people preach within contexts like that. It's just pretty challenging. And I might not do a great job today, but I'm going to try to do a little bit of a job for the good Lord today. So where, I've kind of covered a little bit where, but I want to back up and kind of tell you how I actually go on these mission trips. I basically go down to Houston. I drive down to Houston. The last time I went, just been a couple of months ago, back in October, I drove down to Houston and just spent the night, parked my little car, found out that I could actually park my car at a hotel instead of paying for parking. So, and that was a tremendous blessing right there. And basically got up the next day. It's a 2-hour flight to fly from Houston to Guadalajara. And when I arrive in Guadalajara, there's a car rental place just right across from the airport. I actually go over there and rent a car. Car rentals are pretty cheap in Mexico, just like they're fairly cheap here, but the insurance is very, very expensive. I can rent a car over there for about $75 a day, but the rental insurance for the week is about $600. So that's one of the biggest expenses that we have when we go down there. Once I fly into Guadalajara, we drive and we go down in a little rental car to the area of Otlan de Navarro. And there's a little town there called Otlan de Navarro. And it is an area that is predominantly on this side of the mountain. It is predominantly farmland. They do a lot of agricultural, they do a lot of corn, they do a lot of sugar cane. And then on the other side of the mountain, the terrain is completely different. You get into some farmland, but you also get into like rainforest type. It's a lot of really, really green stuff up there in the mountains and a lot of rain that comes off the Pacific coast, because that area is not but about about an hour and a half away from the Pacific Ocean, over in the area called Manzanilla in Colima. A lot of people know where Colima is because there's a big volcano over in that area. But anyway, to tell you a little bit about this church and where it is, this church is situated in the town of Otlan, and this church is roughly about 70, 80 people. It's a church probably just a little bit smaller than this church right here. And I like going down there because I'm really impressed with the people. I'm really impressed with the things that they do. I mean, you consider a church that's got 70 to 80 people. This church has four church plants. They have a church plant in Eliman, which is a town that's roughly about 30 minutes away. They have a church plant in Casimiro Castillo, which currently right now has their own pastor, and they've set up a pastor to work in that church. They have a church plant in Villa Purification, a beautiful little town that's established up in the side of a mountain range that has an established date of 1533. When you go in, all the towns have these welcome signs, and that town was established in 1533, and it just blew my mind away. Another little town that they've just started in is called Cuautitlan. In those two areas, Villa and Cuautitlan, are basically a two-hour drive across a winding mountain road to get over to that. And this church does these church plants every week. They go a different day, basically, to every one of these church plants. The second topic we're going to talk about is, what do they do? And what do we do when we go down there and we visit? And we help. We basically go down there and they use us. You know, when I first went down there, one of the things that I didn't really like was just to, you know, go and knock on people's doors. I don't know if you've ever tried that in the United States, but it's not cool to do here. When I was the pastor at Southside Baptist Church, we knocked on the south side of that church. We knocked on probably every house in that neighborhood. And the response was just not good. Here in America, we don't like people knocking on our doors because we think they're going to sell us something. But over in Mexico, it's a pretty common thing to do. And people are not offended by it. In fact, when we go down there, a lot of times I was worried about having to present to someone the gospel in Spanish. But a lot of times all I have to do is just sit there and look kind of dumb. And I could do that pretty good. So they, you know, and they would use us as the opportunity because people in Mexico are fascinated by the United States for some reason. I don't know why. A lot of them have family members that work up here. A lot of them want to be in the United States because they see the things that the people in the United States have. And they see a lot of people that are at work because there's a lot of people in Mexico that don't have work. So it grabs their attention. So a lot of times all I do is just stand there. And they say, hey, this guy's from the United States. And all of a sudden their eyes get big. And they've got their attention. And it gives them an opportunity to share the gospel with them. And all I have to do is stand there. And it's so easy to do. But we do go along and we help people. We have visits in different homes. Pretty much every town that they have a church plant, they either have someone's home or a piece of property bought that they go out and they visit. And we meet in that area, and we knock on doors, we pass out pamphlets, we sing songs with people in their homes, we pray with people in their homes. Pretty much the same things we do a lot here when we're ministering to other people. But I enjoy it. There's times when the church is pretty active. They hold a Sunday morning service, they hold a Sunday evening service, they have a Wednesday night service, and they have a Thursday night service. So they're a pretty active little church. Real active compared to a lot of the churches that we see today in the United States. So who? The next question is, who? Who are we reaching? And I know when I talk about Mexico missions a lot of times, it's a hard sell. I have a particular friend of mine that he has this negative view about Hispanics because they've came in and they've taken a lot of jobs. And He's in the bricklaying business, and a large majority of the people that are doing brickwork right now are Hispanics, and they came in and they've taken, and he's offended by the fact that they've taken some of these jobs. So I'm having a hard sell trying to get him to come to Mexico and go with me down there. But when you go down there, you know, a lot of the people are just, they're really good people. Like in any society, you have good people, you have bad people. We have them here in the United States. But the people in the areas that we go to see, there's some really good people. Some of them are Spaniards. You can see the Spaniard blood in them. They're really light-skinned. Some of them have green eyes. Some of them look more like the Native Indians. The Native Indians were squat, short, wide-faced. Sometimes you see an intermixing. Not too long ago, about a year and a half ago, I saw a guy that was working for the city there in Outline, and he was light-skinned and red-headed. And I had to sit up over there and just stare at him because I couldn't believe that there was this red-headed guy down here in Mexico. The culture in Mexico is different. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Catholic Church, but I want you to know I have a brother that is a devout Catholic, so if I say a few things that might sound bad, I'm talking about the Catholic Church in Mexico. It is completely different from the Catholic Church in the United States. The Catholic Church in Mexico is a very controlling church. They want to control their members. They want to threaten their members. They want to basically have their members come to them. The priests want the members to come to them to learn about God and don't want you reading the Bible on your own. It kind of sounds like 16th century England in a way. The Catholic Church has had a policy for years about coming into different countries and using the same practices that the people use in their services. It's not uncommon for a Catholic priest to be in the same service as an animal sacrifice priest in Mexico. There is a predominant witchcraft society in Mexico. There's people that invite other people to worship Satan in Mexico. And yes, we have some of that stuff here. We don't see a lot of that here predominantly in the South, but yes, we have a lot of that in the United States also. Southern Baptists, and I know I'm using a lot of these terms about Southern Baptists, but a lot of this information has come from them. They estimate this area that we go into probably there's probably 2% of the people there are saved. A lot of the people, you ask them, you know, do you believe in God? And they're, I believe in God, I'm Catholic. And you ask them what makes them Catholic, and they'll give you something like, oh, well, my grandmother's Catholic. And they have that excuse that, you know, well, their grandparents were a devout Catholic, so they're Catholic, so they must be saved and they must be going to heaven too. But you see a country with lots of idol worship. Basically, every town in Mexico has a hill, or that does have a hill, they have an altar worship up there for some saint or something to worship. There's altar worships on the side of the roads a lot that you see. And with that area, I think it's a good area. I mean, when you think about 2% of the people being saved, it's a perfect harvest opportunity. But it's a tough sell. It's hard to get people convinced in a culture that is living a certain way to actually turn away from that and turn to Christ. But it's a much needed opportunity. So why go? If we look at Mexico, and we see that there is a need, and we see that there is an opportunity, why would we want to go? And if we look at this scripture in Colossians a little bit, verse 19 says, whenever someone is reconciled to Christ, it pleases the Father. That scripture says that it pleased God that the fullness of His nature could dwell in Christ, and that He was pleased with that. And so if the fullness of His nature can dwell in someone that doesn't know Him yet, if we brought that message to them, God would be well pleased that we did. Reconciliation is what separates, or is what makes that bond that separates us from Christ. Christ is our reconciler. That scripture we read earlier today says that basically at one point in your life, you were separated from God. You were basically enemies. When you didn't know Christ is your Savior, you know, scripture says you're either with me or you're against me. And if you don't know Christ is your Savior, you're not with God. And God doesn't find favor in that. Because God has provided His Son. His fullness has dwelt here on earth so that we can believe. And then if we believe, we need to please the Father by taking that word of reconciliation and taking it to others. Yes, it should start right here. Yes, it should start within this church. But Paul also had a goal that the whole world, there in verse 23, that Paul basically said he preached the word to everyone. In other words, wherever he went, no matter who they were, what they were doing, what they looked like, what their skin color, what their language was, he preached the gospel of Christ to everyone. And in a sense, we should be doing that too. We should have that challenge laid out before us, that we shouldn't be afraid to go into Mexico and preach the gospel. When I first started going down there, my parents went crazy and started naming all the bad stuff that goes on in Mexico. And the more I went, the less afraid they became, because they would ask me about the things that went on down there. And, you know, and what surprises a lot of people when I tell them, the same gangs that are down there in Mexico, they're present in the United States today. They're in the major cities. And that surprises a lot of people. But the violence you see down there might be a little bit stronger that you see in the United States, but that's because we have organized police forces that control that a little bit better, and they don't have that in Mexico. But basically, the same type of crimes that are down there, those same gangs work up here. And so really, the safety is an issue. There's things that you can do to make yourself a little less safe. But we shouldn't use them as excuses as not to go. In fact, we should really just look at Christ and decide in our hearts if it's something that He wanted us to do or not. Because there's no greater gift than being able to please the Father by reaching out and touching someone for Christ. I thought I would end this service by, I hope I've given you a ample opportunity to think about the Mexico missions, but I would like to just open up a few minutes to see if someone might have a question or two. Because I know when I get to talking about Mexico missions a lot, people have questions. And so if let's just take a few minutes. If the questions kind of slow down, then I'll close us in prayer. But I'd like to open it up. Does anyone have any questions for me right now concerning Mexico missions? And there's no question too simple, too small. I know I didn't cover everything. Yes. You know, yes, they do. Even the guys that are here that you see a lot of times on the construction jobs, but they're hesitant to speak English because they're not very good at it. But once you befriend them and get to know them, they speak a lot more English than, you know, there's some people that don't. But we have a lady down there that is from Christway Baptist Church. She's been living down there as a church-sponsored missionary for 4 years, and she does most of the interpreting. Pastor Leonel speaks pretty good English once you get to know him and can communicate with him. So, mm-hmm. is she looking to go like in the mission field as a missionary, or is she just looking to do something for, like for a summertime project, or? What denomination is she? Baptist. You know, most of your Southern Baptists have. She just needs to start asking questions. Most of your Southern Baptists, and I've been a Southern Baptist for years, so I guess I can pick on them for a little bit. Most of your Southern Baptists are focused usually on one particular or a group of countries. Right now, they're not focused in Mexico. They're not doing anything in Mexico. But they will focus in areas of certain countries just from the feedback that they get from their organizations. Currently, right now, the Tecate Missions is doing a lot of work in Mexico. They're out of California. I would suggest she open some contact with them. But as far as Southern Baptists, I don't really know of anybody. You know, and of course, as I'm telling you this, we have a Baptist church in Mexico but they choose to be Baptist because that's what they choose to be, and they're not related. Yeah, she probably needs to get with some organizations that are doing. There's one other organization that I don't have. I might have it in an email besides Tecate that is supporting missionaries down there. I would suggest probably that, you know, that she would try to go down there and visit, you know. A lot of times if you feel like the Lord's leading you in that way, start meeting with some of the people that are down there. Make some contacts. Deb Duncan would be a good contact, the lady that's living down there right now from Crossway Baptist Church out of the Bryan College Station area. She will be coming back sometime around Christmas, and she could listen to her speak, and she could glean some of the information from her on Deb Duncan. I have her email address on my phone out in the truck. I can get it for you. And start talking to people about Mexico and just see where the Lord leads on that. But it's really hard unless you're going to do something on your own, you know, to go down there, because it's hard to get somebody to sponsor it down there, just because here lately everybody's had a back off hands approach because of the violence that's being broadcast down there. So, anyone else? Yes. You know, we leave it into the hands of the church that is really down there, because we go down there and help, and we've done different things. At one time, we were passing out a book of Romans with the face of a child with the Mexican flag draped over his face, kind of like you've seen the drapings of Paris over Facebook posts here lately. And we were passing out books like that and the books of John and little pamphlets and giving them. At times, we would knock on doors. At times we would visit and do, you know, because the church has some people in these towns that we would go and visit. It seems like the last couple of visits that we went to, we didn't really knock on doors because we were so busy with the church plants that were already there. Because like one church plant has like 15 people meeting in a home, and they're hoping to move beyond that to a building. So right now they kind of seem like they're in the mode of... But, you know, that changes on a week-to-week basis. So we basically go down there and just make ourselves available to whatever Pastor Leonel wants us to do. So. Right. Yeah, and we try not to do a whole lot of help with stuff. And we have done like a project or a building or something like that. But you have to be careful about giving money in Mexico. You know, it's one of those things that, and this is not me speaking, this is the pastor that's down there. He's Hispanic, and he's like, you know, you just got to be careful. You know, we as Americans just want to throw money at stuff, and that doesn't work well down there. You know, they would rather you come and, you know, come and help out than throw money at them. So, anybody else? Yes. The Altline is where we stay, and there's 70,000 people there in Altline. When you look at it, it doesn't look that big, but you know, in Mexico, there'll be five families in one house. I mean, so the when you look at a town, you'll think, oh, well, there's 30,000 people here. Well, it'll be twice that number when you look at it. So, but we stay. There is a center there in Altline that is run by Tecate Missions. And when we have a large group, when you look at it, it looks like a hotel. There's outside facing rooms, and there's, of course, a common bathroom for the men and the women. And there's like three showers and, you know, restroom facilities there when we stay at the center. So when we have a large group, we stay at the center. This last time I went by myself, I stayed in a room there at the church, which I don't think a lot of y'all would probably like that because I had to bathe out of a bucket. But it was still pretty fun. That brought back some old childhood memories for me. So, but I was also there with Pastor Lionel and got to eat breakfast with him every morning. So there was a blessing in that. So, anyone else? Yes. Most of their houses are kind of like a adobe structure. As you go closer to the Mexico border, like around San Antonio, and the closer you get, you'll see a lot of the smaller little. Their houses are basically brick construction. The outside walls will be brick or block. There are some really nice houses in Mexico. There are some very nice houses in Guadalajara. We made a wrong turn in Guadalajara one time in a gated community, and it was beautiful. It was much better than some of the houses that I see in Bryan College Station area. But predominantly, most people live side by side. And I kind of wanted to share one other thing to y'all because this kind of caught my attention one time. We hear a lot about the violence in Mexico. I was on one of our mission trips. We were driving along and I saw this 13-year-old girl walking down the road at 9 o'clock at night. And I'm sitting there thinking in the back of my mind, you would never see that in the United States. But here, we're sitting here driving, you know, you're driving down these cobblestone roads, you know, in a rental car. And I'm sitting there watching this 13-year-old girl walk down the street. And I'm thinking, is she safe? You know, of all the bad stuff I'm hearing in Mexico, is she safe? But then I got to thinking, this girl is in her community. She probably knows everybody down that street. And in Mexico, toward the evening time, it's hot, so people don't want to go in and go to sleep yet, so everybody sits out in front of their houses. And so a 13-year-old girl can walk up and down the street or possibly even around the block without any fear of danger just because that's her neighborhood. And that kind of seems strange to me whenever you get the media blow up about a lot of the stuff that is happening in Mexico. Because I don't see 13-year-old girls walking down my street. And I live in a safe neighborhood, I think. Any other questions before I close right quick? Yes, sir.
Does the mission do anything for the Americans that go down there and get locked up by the Mexicans? Do they have anything to do with that?
You know, most of the time, whenever you go down there, you go at your own risk. I'm going to get probably, this might not sound good, but generally when I go down there, I don't take out any type of insurance on me. But if I was taking a group, I would take out insurance on the group. And basically what that covers is that it covers transport of your body back across the border. And that sounds tough and rough, but that's the only safety insurance that you can get going into Mexico. It's kind of like the car insurance. It's outrageous. But, you know, you're a foreigner in a foreign country, and, you know, their laws apply. If you get into trouble in the United States, you need the consulate numbers. If you go to Mexico, you need a passport, you need all the consulate numbers in all the major towns that you're going to be near. And you need telephone numbers of friends that would be close to you. You play it safe by don't dressing up, you don't flash money, you don't drive Texas vehicles with the Texas license plate that says, "Steal me, I'm free." You don't tell them you're a business owner. You just tell them. But what our training basically said, you give them simple truth statements. You're not making a lie up. You're just telling them something simple and truthful. I tell people, "I'm going to visit friends down in Outlaw." It's simple and it's true. It's nobody else's business why I'm down there. Because you don't want to attract attention to yourself while you're down there. You just want to go down there and work for the Lord. Any other questions? All right. Thank y'all. One more? They have supermarkets, and believe it or not, Walmart owns a lot of them. Some of your little local stores they call bodegas, you get to looking on the receipt and it says Walmart Mexico on it. So a lot of their produce is grown locally. They have a farmer's market inside the town that it's very neat to go walk around and see all the different types of food that they have. It looks a little bit different for the meat will kind of take you by surprise because they don't do a lot of refrigerating, so it's kind of like process and get it to the same day. You know, you're sitting there watching these meat trucks and there's no air conditioning. They're bouncing down the road trying to get it to the places within a day's time. So, and the markets are really nice to go and visit. But they have quite a bit of food available. But a lot of people there eat very simple meals. It's fun to watch them make the tortillas and the corn tortillas because a lot of people make those themselves instead of buying them. Okay, well, I've kept y'all long enough. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to talk to your people today. Thank you for the opportunity to speak about Mexico today, Lord. It would be my great joy that your Holy Spirit would touch somebody's lives and let them begin to ask questions about Mexico and lead them, Father, on a trip down there that I know would just change their lives as it's changed mine. And we would do this, Lord, not because of something we would do to pat on our backs, but it would be for your glory because it would please the Father as we've read today in Scripture. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for working through a number of people for each of our salvations, as you've done through the years for many, many others. Bless everyone that leaves this door today. Give them safety in their travel home. And, Lord, bring us back to this place again. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.